I wasn't raised in church. But I tell you one thing that I've come to find out and come to realize in the last several years. And again, we kind of discussed this in Sunday school a little bit this morning. Folks, we are living in the last days. No doubt in my mind. And I know some of you young folks might think, oh, yeah, sure, they've been saying that for a long time. And they have been. As a matter of fact, the Bible talked about it. But I'm telling you, we are living in the last days. It can't get a whole lot worse than what's going on right now, in my estimation. And if it does, then God is going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for destroying them for how bad they were, because we're getting that way or worse today. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I hope and pray you have your Bibles. I think if you come to church on Sunday morning, you ought to bring God's Word with you. That's just my personal opinion. because it's like what we talk about in Sunday school. If I quote the Word of God, I want you to know that that comes from the Word of God. Because I could get up here and say whatever I want to say, and a lot of people would say, oh yeah, it's bound to be right because the preacher said so. No, it ain't right. Because there's a lot of preachers nowadays that say it, but it ain't true. But anyway, we'll get into that a little later too. The book of Jude, a little small book, and it's kind of unique because it comes right ahead of the book of Revelation. I think God put it there for a purpose. Because the book of Revelation is the end times. That's a picture of what's going to happen. And so right ahead of it was the book of Jude. And the book of Jude, it really kind of boils down to you need to fight, you need to contend, you need to do battle. Because these false teachers and this apostate time that he was talking about is coming, and I believe it's already here today. And it's up to us as God's people to fight the fight. We're in a battle. We're in a battle daily. We're in a battle for the Bible. We're in a battle for our faith. And we need to wake up. We're allowing things to go on around us nowadays that we ought not to allow. You're allowing things to go, allowing things in your own life that you ought not to allow, folks. I'm telling you, it's time that we woke up because we are in these last days. Now, most people, or a lot of people would say, well, there's always been wars and rumors of wars. There's always been famine. There's always been earthquakes and et cetera and et cetera and et cetera. So why do you think it's worse today? Well, I want to read a few verses of Scripture to you first. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy over in the first chapter, the book of Timothy. First Timothy, first chapter, the 19th verse. He says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Okay, and then turn over to the fourth chapter in the first verse, and he says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm not through yet. Look at 7 Timothy, the fourth chapter, and the third and the fourth verse. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Hebrews, third chapter, 12th verse. The Bible says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And then Peter went just a little bit further. In 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, in the 17th verse, he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now everybody says, well, what about that time? That's not going on now, right? Yes, it is. But the Bible says in the book of 2 Thessalonians that day, talking about that day of the falling away, talking about that day that I just mentioned when people will no longer hear sound doctrine, will have itching ears to hear whatever they want, talking about that day, it says, that day shall not come except there first come a falling away. People say, well, this falling away, has it begun? Is it here today? Let me give you a little history lesson. 88 of the first 100 colleges that were founded in this country, 88 of them, 88 of the first 100 colleges were founded to teach and to equip Christian workers and preachers. Did you know that? 88 of them. That's what they were founded for. What happened? Let me give you a few quotes here. The president of Yale University, this was in 1814. Let me read what he said. Jesus Christ is the only true and living way to God. Give yourself unto him and great work of life is done. Wow. That's a president of Yale University. You think you would hear that today? I doubt it. Let me give you another one here. Harvard. They had some rules you were supposed to live by in Harvard University. He said, the end of all studies is to know God and Jesus Christ. That's Harvard. Another one was, read the Word of God at least twice a day so you may be able to give an account in word and life. Princeton, that's another university. Their faculty, their rules say that their faculty must be convinced of a religious experience with Jesus Christ. Now just think about the colleges I'm talking about here, folks. These were all founded to equip teachers and preachers of the Word of God. You don't think there's been a great falling away? Look at what they teach and they preach nowadays. They don't preach nowadays. I guess they do in their own secular way that they still preach. But it's not just the colleges when you talk about a falling away. What about some of our great denominations? Some of them that were born in the fires of revival and now are only living in the smoke. And I'm not going to mention them because I don't have to. If you think about it just a minute, you know what I'm talking about. Some of our great denominations that were really on fire for God and used to teach and preach the Word of God no longer do that. They teach and preach about the social things of the world and what's going on in the world today. I want to read a quote from this is the secretary of a mission board of a very large denomination that's alive. It's here today. I won't say alive and well. Let me read what he said. We have given up all hope of evangelizing this generation. We will send out no more missionaries. Education is our only hope. What about Jesus Christ? But you say, what kind of big falling away are you talking about? Listen to it. It's going on. And it's been going on. There are ministers today that will stand in the pulpit. One in particular. Let me quote what he said. I do not believe in the doctrine of salvation by the blood. Thank God I'm not saved by the blood of anyone. Doctrine of blood is a butcher shop salvation. That's a preacher. That's a preacher standing in the pulpit. And I'm not talking about in the pulpit of a cult. That's what Linda got. She's good at that. She knows what I was going to say before I said it. A cult. I'm not talking about one standing in the pulpit of a cult. I'm talking about one that's standing up before thousands and thousands of preachers or people and preaching this kind of garbage. There is a great falling away. It's taking place today. I said in Sunday school, and I'll repeat again. There's no preaching against anything anymore in a lot of churches. As a matter of fact, if there's something you want to believe and there's something you want to hear, I can show you a church that'll preach it and believe it. I don't care what it is. I guarantee you there'll be a church somewhere that'll preach and teach what you want to hear. The great falling away is here. It's already a fact. It's here. The apostasy of our days is here. This is the great falling away. See, Satan, you know, some people think Satan's stupid. Well, let me tell you something, folks. He ain't stupid. But what he did in the early church, he tried persecution. You know, he thought, well, if I can persecute these Christians, they're going to quit and go to house. Well, it didn't work, as we know, because we're here today. So he's used a different tactic, and that's what he uses today. He joins in the church. He comes on the inside, and he begins to work on the inside to destroy the foundation and everything that the church has stood for, and that's what's happening today.
That's right.
I mean, I'm just amazed at what I hear sometimes. It's a religion of convenience. You know, if it's convenient to serve God in this particular way, we'll do it. And if it's not, I'll find a church where it is. And who was it said, oh, I guess Ron Joe said you could stand down here at El Paso. He'd come through El Paso and there was boatloads upon boatloads of people going to the, with the boats going to the lake. You think it's all them's heathen? No. A lot of them are Christian folks. It wasn't convenient to serve God today because it's too pretty. So they're going to go. I'm telling you, the great falling away is here and now. We're in a fight. Jude, I want to read three verses. First three verses of the book of Jude, first chapter, because that's the only one they got. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, who is he talking to? Who did he write this to? Now, listen to what he said about them. He said they are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, who is that? That's the church. That's us. That's the folks that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and are professors of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was speaking to us. He went on to say, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He says we're in a battle. And let me tell you, we cannot be neutral. You know, we cannot sit on the sideline and say, like we've done too many times already, and say, I'm a Christian, but I don't, you know, I'm not going to take sides one way or the other. I'm just going to kind of stay in the middle. Let me tell you, the fight we're in today is for a fight for the faith. It's a fight for the Word of God, and we cannot be neutral. We cannot be neutral. I want you to notice, I told him, y'all, I was just going to mimeograph my sermon and leave it because part of it we heard in Sunday school a while ago. I just told him that it's easy to preach about the love of God. It's easy to preach about the comfort you get from God. It's easy to preach about all those good feeling things that you get from God and Jesus Christ. That's easy. That's easy for a preacher. He said, that's what I sat down, James, or Jude said, that's what I sat down to do, was to write to you about all this things we have in common, all this love we have, which is great. But, he said, I could not do it. I had to give you a warning. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We're in a fight for the Word of God. But we have to give the warning. I'm standing here this morning to give you a warning. Now, let me say this about a warning. You got to heed it. You say, well, that sounds kind of reasonable. No, you got to heed the warning. You can get warned. God is warning us about what's going to happen. God is warning us about what's going on. If we don't heed that warning, it's on us. Doesn't do any good to simply hear what God says if we don't heed what God says. There was a fellow by the name of Captain John Smith. He was tripping along in a big boat in the northern Atlantic, and he got a telegraph that said, icebergs ahead. He had the warning. The warning said, icebergs. He didn't heed it. You know what happened? Titanic. 1,479 people died because he had the warning, but he did not heed the warning. December the 7th, 1941, there was a man by the name of Sergeant Joe Lockhart that was sitting on a radar site in Hawaii up on top of the mountain, and he saw this big blob. Now, I used to be in the Navy, and I operated radar, and the radar back then, I'm going to say, was really bad. But anyway, there was a big blob that showed something coming. Looked like a bunch of planes. He radioed down and said, I've got planes inbound. You know what happened? They said, yeah, don't worry about it. 3,000 people died in Pearl Harbor. The warning was given, but they didn't heed it. Now, you know, there's been a lot of debate about whether it made any difference or not. I don't know. I can't. I'm not going to get into that debate. But I'm telling you, the warning was given, but they did not heed the warning. Some of you remember the tsunamis back in 2004 that kind of swept the that area over there. There's a small island that was about, actually it was closest to the epicenter. You know how many people got killed the other place? Out of this island of 75,000 people, 7 people were killed. And it was the closest to the epicenter. And they said, how did this happen? Well, the way it happened was that for decades they had heard of this great wave. Their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandparents had told them about this great wave that had came and killed a bunch of people on the island. They had this warning, so when the waters began to recede and the ground shook, they went to higher ground. They cut out and went to the mountains. 7 out of 75,000 because they heeded the warning. See, God does not leave us blind and helpless. God tells us this is the way it's going to be. Now, what you do with it is up to you. I can't do anything about it, and a lot of times God can't, or he doesn't choose to. Right. We must not only hear, but heed the warning. So what's God warning us about here? I want to put this real specific, the last part of that verse 3. He says that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Let me tell you, God is making it so clear. We have to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, what does that mean, preacher, if you're so smart? Well, I'm not smart, but I'm going to tell you what it means. He said, now, let me give you the reason why, because he tells us in verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He says you're going to have to earnestly contend for the faith, for there are people that have crept in unawares. And that's what I said a while ago. Satan has crept into the church today. Satan has crept into the denominations. He has crept into everything. And they're teaching false teachings. And they're teaching stuff that is going to send people to hell. We need to earnestly contend for the faith. I like that. I like what that little verse there talks about these men has crept in unawares. Kind of look that up. If you ever used to watch the Tarzan movies, you remember how Tarzan would be getting it across the river swimming, and all of a sudden you'd look over on the bank, and these alligators would kind of slip into the water. You know, you've seen them. And it wouldn't be for long before him and one of them big alligator Tarzan was fighting out there in the middle of the river. But they would slip in unawares. Same word. That's what he's talking about here. These people have crept in unawares. They don't get up and say, hey, we're going to come in and destroy the faith. They just kind of slowly creep in. He says we're going to have to earnestly contend for the faith. Right. Earnestly contend, that comes from the Greek words, which we talked about prolonged labor, agonizing work. Earnestly contend. It's the same word Jesus uses when he says strive to enter in at the straight gate. It means that Paul says the same thing when he says, I fought a good fight. What it means is to strive, to fight a good fight, to just put all you can into it. It's not going to be easy. And what did he say for? He said we are to earnestly contend for the faith. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about the faith. When we have faith, we say, by faith we are saved. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about the faith. That's what he's talking about here. We're talking about a faith. This is the word of God. This is the truth, the body of truth that revealed by God in Jesus Christ. This is what they are attacking today, folks, is the truth, the word of God, the faith. Be careful. Satan wants to destroy the foundation. If Satan can destroy the word of God, he's got it whipped. That's why I tell you, and I'll tell everybody else, you better study and know what the Word of God says. Amen. Because people are going to creep in unawares and say, oh yeah, this is what this is what this says, and they read it. And if you don't know what the Word of God says, guess what? You're going to believe it. Now, and don't misunderstand me here. I've got some different interpretations of the Bible. But let me tell you, be careful. Be very careful. I've got one at the house that I read quite a bit. It's a little easier to understand. But there's been places in it that it hadn't said what this Bible says. Now, I'm not saying the King James is the only way to go. Don't misunderstand. But I'm saying you better know what the Word of God says. Because, boy, they'll creep it right in there and you won't know. Satan is out to destroy the foundation. And notice something else, too, about that verse. He says, which was once delivered unto the saints. Let me say this. There are no new truths. You listening to me? There are no new truths. This is the truth. This is the Word of God. There are no new... Let me tell you, let me go a little further. If it's new, it's not true. Because God hadn't changed His Word, folks. God hadn't changed His truth at all. Man has. We'd like to. You know, there's some things that we'd like to change, but God has not changed it. This is the truth. This is the truth, and there are no new truths. There might be some new ideals about this or that, but there are no new truths. It was delivered unto us. We're the stewards of the Word of God. We're the last offense. So how? How are we going to earnestly contend for the faith? How do we do that? I'm going to give you, I don't remember how many. I don't keep up with points or whatever. But I'm going to give you some here in a minute, 5 or 6 or 4 or 3 or whatever it is. How do we do this? If God is warning us, this is what we got to do. And if God is making it plain what's going on, then how are we going to do it? You know, it's one thing I love about the Word of God. God does not never. I'm not sure that's right. God never tells us to do something that He doesn't equip us to do it with and give us words to do it with. So I'm going to tell you what God says is the way that we are to earnestly contend for the faith. And the first thing is we're going to have to submit to it. The first thing we're going to have to do is to be born again. The first thing we're going to have to do is to receive Him. Now, I'm going to stop and say something here, and it may hurt your feelings, but that's okay. I'm not in a popularity contest, so it doesn't make any difference to me. But let me say this. I'm not talking about something that happened in the past. And I want you to understand me here. Not something that's happened in the past, but right now. Are you saved right now? I mean, right this minute. Do you know that you are? Is it real in your life? Are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt? That's what counts. Not about something that happened in the past. You know, I've heard people told me, oh, yeah, preacher, this, you know, guy come over the other day at the food pantry. He was 60, 70 years old. I don't know. I called him an old man. Linda says, do you know how old you are? And I said, no, I don't know. I'm paying attention to that. Anyway, he said, oh, yeah, son, when I was 4 years old, I went to the altar, and, you know, I'll give my life to Jesus. And I said, well, good, you've been going. Now, I ain't been living for him much since then. Well, you know, he was 60-something years, and God probably forgot who he was. But what I'm trying to say is, you need to know that the person sitting in the seat you're sitting in right now is saved. Amen. I mean, you need to know that. Not because this is, you need to know right now in your own heart and mind that you are saved. That's the first thing you have to know. You have to study the faith. Study the Word. Get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God get into you. I can't emphasize enough. Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God, all truth and no error, then study it. Know what it says. How many people have never even opened their Bibles? How in the world are you going to know if a false teacher is preaching to you if you don't know what the Word says? How are you going to know if you don't pick up your Bible and read the Word of God and study the Word? How are you going to know what to do unless you read and study the Word of God? I don't know about you, but I'm like a preacher I heard the other day. He said, I've never heard God in a laudable voice speaking to me, and that'd probably scare me to death if He did. But He speaks through His Word. Amen. All you got to do is study it. You got to study the Word of God. And there's about three things that you need to nail down. You need to know the inerrancy of the Scripture. You need to realize and understand that the Word of God is without error in any way, shape, or form. No error whatsoever. You need to understand that about the deity of Christ. And you need to understand that salvation is by grace through faith, because these three things are what they really want to attack you on. These three things are three real important issues that you need to know, because the apostates will be wrong in these three things every time. You need to live it. Again, I said this in the class. The biggest argument for or against the faith is the life of Christians. It's the life of those that are out there and living it every day. That's the biggest argument for or against Christianity. That sounds not simple, don't it? No, I'm telling you. We better live it, folks. We better live it. You better live it 24/7, not just on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Sunday night, Wednesday night. We need to live it every hour of every day of our life, because people are going to look and people are going to see. And again, we talked about this morning. You'd be amazed that people are waiting for you to make a mistake. And let me tell you, let me say something else, and this is free. When adversity comes your way, people look at you and see how you handle it. When things are not going right in your life, that's when people really look at you and see how you handle it. You better live it. You better show it. You better stand up for it. Boy, we have let God down in a big way. Because we have decided, rather than to stand up for the Word of God and the faith, we have decided that we're going to kind of just slip over to the side. You know, we don't want anybody to dislike us. We don't want anybody to think bad about us. Let me tell you, we better stand up and be bold and speak up for the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to get us through. Let me tell you, when the end comes and is coming, this is the only thing that's going to stand. Everything else is going to be gone. This is it right here. Stand up and be counted. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Stand up boldly and tell people. People's not going to like you. You know, if you want to just be in a popularity contest, that's fine. Because if you stand up for the Word of God, people may not like you. But let me tell you something. We're not trying to win a popularity contest. We're in a war. If you're in a war, I'm going to have to back up on that. I was going to say, if you're in a war, you're out to win it, but that's a whole nother sermon anyway. But what I'm trying to say is, we're not here to win a popularity contest. We're fighting a war for the Word of God. So we need to stand up and earnestly contend for the faith. Don't be blown away by every wind of doctrine that comes your way. You get a bulldog grip on the Word of God, and you hold on, and you hold on, and because you'll never go wrong when you're holding on to the Word of God. Remember that. Hold on to it. Never let it go. Support it. You say, you're going to talk about giving. No, I'm talking about with your time and whatever it takes. Support it. And I'll say this because I believe this. You better be in a good Bible preaching church, a fundamental Bible preaching church, and if you're not, get out. Amen. I've heard people say, that church where I go, they don't really preach the Bible, but I'm hoping that maybe I can change things. Well, you're not going to. I'll just tell you that. We need to support the Bible. We need to support the Word of God. We need to support it with our time, with our money, whatever it takes. I don't care. Support it. Earnestly contend for the faith is what he says. One last thing, we need to share it. Amen. What are you doing to share the faith? I mean, I'm not going to have you raise your hands and tell me, but what are you doing? Preacher, I try to be a good person. Well, whoopee-doo. I'm proud for you. You ought to be a good person. But what are you doing to share the faith? I mean, what are you doing to share the word with those around you? That, if you believe it and it's real, if you really believe the Word of God and it's real to you, share it. Tell others about it. Tell others what God has done for you and what He can do for them through the Word of God. You say, well, I don't want to, you know, hurt their feelings. Let me tell you. Or I have people say, and this is one of my pet peeves, I don't want to drive them away. Let me tell you, if they don't know Jesus, they're already away. The only way they can come back is through the Word of God. Share the faith. Some people say, keep the faith, baby. You've heard that, haven't you? Yeah. Give it away. That's what I like to say. Give it away. Don't keep it. Give away. Share the faith. I'm going to say this in real sadness, but real honesty. Some of you that are here today may become apostate unless you earnestly contend for the faith. Listen now. Some of you here today may become apostate, may fall away, unless you earnestly contend for the faith. I ask you again, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Question I always like to ask is, if you died and went to heaven, you stood before the gates, why would God let you in? Answer that question to yourself. Why would God let you in to heaven? And I've got, like I say, I do a food pantry deal on Thursdays, and you would be amazed at the answers I get on when I ask that question. Why would He let you in? Now, you think about it yourself this morning. Why would God let you in to heaven? And I can see going through your minds. Like always, I'm a good person. I live right. I pray to God. I know Jesus. Well, how well do you know Jesus? Let me tell you, the only reason God will let you in, the only reason, I don't care, you can list up 10,000 of them, the only reason that God will let you in, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. That's it. Amen. That's it. If you're a son of God, then you can get in. If you're not, you're not getting in. I don't care how good you are. Don't tell how many times you've been baptized. Don't tell, you might look like a prune. It doesn't make any difference. Do you know, are you certain? And again, I'm not talking about something happening in the past. Let me just read one more verse before we close here. Verse 5. Because he's talking about this past judgment of these false teachers. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. They knew him. But you know what? The Bible says he destroyed them because they believed not. What about that person sitting in your seat right now? Is that person saved? Are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt? The biggest question and the biggest decision you ever make in your life is knowing that that person sitting in that seat that you're sitting in right now is saved. Do you know that this morning? Are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt? God says in His Word in the book of Job or book of John, you can know that you have eternal life. I've had people say, well, I think I'm going to go to heaven, or I think I'm going to get in. Fine, that won't get it, folks. We need to know. Do you know this morning that that person sitting in your seat right now is saved? We'll have a song of invitation in just a minute. And that's it in a nutshell. We're going to have to earnestly contend for the faith. We're going to have to know what the Word of God says. We're going to have to live it. We're going to have to share it. We're going to have to depend upon it. But unless you know Him, unless you've taken that step of faith, unless you have given your life into Him, unless you've received Him into your heart and life, you know, I tell people, I'm going to give, you believe me, I'm going to give you I take out a $20 bill, so I'm going to give you this $20 bill. Do you believe that? And they say, well, yeah, I believe it. But until they get it in their hand, until they reach and receive that 20, it doesn't belong to them. Same way with salvation. If you believe Jesus Christ will save you, He will. But until you receive him, you don't have it. Do you know that that person sitting in your seat, standing right ahead of your seat now, do you know that that person is saved? If you don't, I beg you this morning to come. You come to this altar, I'll take the word of God and I'll show you. There ain't nothing I'm doing. It's what God does. It's his word. It's his truth. It's him. It's all about him. Is God speaking to you this morning?